Well, welcome to our evening of service on Wednesday. It is the solstice eve. Solstice happens tomorrow morning at 9:26 a.m. Pardon me?
Say praise now.
As we are going into the time of the year where the light is going to increase. So we get to be in the... Yes, the farmer in the back is happy. It's not always, it's rarely about the cold, it's about the light. We know that. So we have a chance to be in a place of offering the word and bringing some possibility and being in the centered place tonight for our service. And we're going to hear from Gary and Ruud, Uma and myself. But before that all happens, Jerry's going to sing a song for us. So, welcome, Jerry.
I don't think I need the microphone for the song. This is a song that I sang last Christmas in the Dome. But I'm sure there are some people here who haven't heard it. But for those who have, I hope you will not mind hearing it again. And I don't even know the name of it, but it is a Christmas song and really hits my heart at this time of the year. Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, they saw a bright new shining star. And heard a choir from heaven sent. The music came from afar. Hark now, hear the angels sing. New King born today. And man will live forevermore. Because of Christmas Day. When Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem that night, they found no place to bear her child. Not a single room was in sight. By and by, they found a little nook in a stable so forlorn. And in a manger cold and dark, Mary's little boy child was born. Shepherds watch and angels sing. Listen to what they say. For man will live forevermore because of Christmas
Jerry. I want to offer a little prayer. Would you guys join me in that? Holy Mother, Father, of the universe and all of life, we give thanks for the indwelling presence of Christ, the Spirit of love, that grows stronger inside of us every day as we respond in love to the divine presence of the angel within, the one who dwells. We are grateful to be gathered with family and friends in this time of remembrance of thy representative that came to show us how to walk the way. May we release distractions and give our whole selves fully into thy glory, the power and the kingdom is thine, and we stand in the spirit of truth. In the name of all that is, we give thanks. Amen. Isn't that what Christmas is about? I have this thing I've been doing for the past few years where I like words. I like playing with words, writing them and saying them in different ways. So instead of Christmas, I've been writing Merry Christ Mass. Just a little hyphen, extra S at the end. But it says something different. I want to celebrate Mass Christhood. Jesus Christ. I've also seen it termed Jesus the Christ, as if to connotate that it's more of a title than a last name. Because I have much love and respect for Jesus and who he did, what he did, who he was, the example he provided, and the teachings that he brought forth and shared. But he's like a signpost pointing to something else. And everyone decided to worship the sign instead of where it was pointing. But that's not the case today. Maybe it is still in somewhere out there. But more and more, we are, I think, awakening, coming into a light of awareness, of knowing that there is the Christ Spirit that exists within each of us. And that is our great destiny, to awaken and to come together as awakened beings of love, Christ's in form. And how do we get there? You know, I mean, obviously he left a lot of signs pointing the way, a roadmap almost. But I think nature reflects naturally the cycles that happen within consciousness and all of creation. Like right now we celebrate tomorrow as the winter solstice, the longest night of the year. So the most darkness that we'll have in an entire year. And sometimes darkness seems scary. Does it not? Does anyone have a fear of the dark here? Well, you're brave.
Yeah. I'm terribly afraid of it. Terribly afraid.
Well, I think you're not the only one. You're the bravest one, maybe. It's a fear of the unknown. We don't know what's in the dark. You can't see. And so there's something scary about what we can't see, what we don't know, what we're not aware of. And yet also, through the darkness of the unknown is the only way to come to the known of what is unknown, the invisible, mysterious. If light is represented, Jesus, the Christ Spirit represents light and truth and love and glory and all of that. And it's also represented by the sun. We have moments when there's more of it and moments when there's less of it. And that's all part of a natural cycle. Right? Sometimes we feel up in top of the world, and sometimes it's like, oh my God, what is going on? And I don't feel secure like I did. Something was said earlier in our service prep time about, I think Jerry said it, about the dark or the light coming out of the dark. And so moving forward from tomorrow, it will be more and more light coming out of the dark. And yet metaphorically, how do we access the light through our own dark? Because in the stillness and the silence and the space where there's not activity of motion, physical thought, feelings running all over the place, that's unknown. Like, what's beyond that? It can be scary, but yet it's also the pathway into the greatest light, the ever-continuing light, the Christ Spirit. I also call these holy days instead of holidays. And here we are, too. It's represented in nature. It's represented in life, in our experiences. Like, even right now, we're in this cycle where it's us. The dark is kind of like a water cycle. And there's unknowns. And then I think the main question that happens between whether or not we get scared of the unknowns, the darkness, what we can't see and aren't aware of, is how much we're able to trust and have faith that there is that light on the other side of the darkness. That it is and will be continually increasing as long as we're willing to stay in what's unknown and keep moving forward. When we let go of that trust, the fear comes in. The worries, the anxieties, whether it's walking at night in the dark or it's being in a situation and you don't know what's going to happen next. Either way, have faith. The light is coming and it is within. It's already present. In fact, if we go through what's in front of us, that always leads us to the next step. And that I want to be very focused on experiencing and expressing that Christ light. I think that's what will change this world. To make known the unknown. And it's available for us, but we got to trust, have faith, and believe it. And just keep moving forward through the darkness. And every so often, just get still and go inside and say hello. Thank you. I'd like to invite up Rude.
Thank you, Gary. To elaborate on the darkness and as a creative principle. So So this, the start of this service, so beautiful, like, come, come, Emmanuel. And when we did call forth through the living word, Emmanuel, the light was responding. A little manipulation, of course. But it's for a good purpose. It worked. So the power of the word is strong. And we call forth the light. We call forth the rising of the sun, the new sun, tomorrow. And there are indigenous cultures who do that. Aboriginal cultures. They sing things into life. As human beings we do, through our consciousness, through our focus, through our intent. And but the creation, creative force, God, Spirit, did call through the word things into life. As you may know, the word came before the light. In a lot of spiritual traditions, the light is prevalent, but in fact the word is first, the power of the word, of sound, of vibration. And so this service started in a beautiful way. We did call in the sun, and now we can sure be sure tomorrow it will rise. And it's so good to know that, or to experience that these things are not just principles, just not metaphors. They are palpable, real forces which we can have a visceral experience about. We can feel it in our energy body, in our physical body, in our emotional body, in our mind. Yeah. I'm sure in this cycle we all experience the silence of these days, the darkness. Something is holding back, something is waiting. Something is expecting. There's expectancy. Because in that darkness, something will be born out of it. In fact, the darkness is the womb. It's the womb of what will be born and come into life in the Christmas celebration. And it's the rising sun, the new sun, after the darkest time. That is rising. And as we know, the sun is not just a physical object. In all the old cultures, in Egyptian, in the Sumerian, in indigenous cultures, American Indian, the sun is sacred. And, you know, in the Western culture we say that it is an animistic belief. Yeah, we put it in the mind. And repeat it from there. But the sun is a spirit of love, life, and wisdom. In many cultures, these people knew from experience. And behind this sun, the physical sun as we see it, is so much life, so much love, so much beauty. Because this sun touches everything and brings everything to life. The structure of every plant is captured sunlight. And through that, the structure of our physical structure is captured sunlight. So we are sunlight beings. This is a beautiful celebration. And it's beautiful, and a few days later we will celebrate Christmas in the traditional way of the birth and the walking on earth of this very special person, Jesus, who manifested Christ's spirit in a way we didn't see before, at least not in our culture. In other cultures, there were manifestations of Christ, the god Horus in the Egyptian culture, in Assyrian culture, in different cultures, the same rhythm happened. 33 days, you know, born from a virgin. So it's a repeating cycle in human history. But still, in the subconscious and in the collective conscious of us, as we are here and in our culture, it's the Master Jesus. And this man he did an amazing job. He had this great courage to fully represent the Father, Mother, God. I call the Mother too. Normally there's only be spoken of Father, but to me it's both, it's one. From the dark, which is safe, a safe place, because it's the womb, and is born something new. And it's the Christ, the spirit of love, life and wisdom. And that moment of birth is happening individually in us. We can experience that individually. But we also can experience it in our community body, as one body, as one entity. What will be born in this community, in this interesting cycle, you know, where David is on his sabbatical, on his retreat, yeah, and where people are now stepping in leadership because other leadership is not present on this moment. And what will come forth in this new cycle when David is back and things are moving and changing? Something will be born, and we don't know yet how it will look like when it grows. But in the darkness of this time, magic is happening, and it's safe. It's safe because it's the womb of creation. And these are cycles that we are sure they will repeat themselves. These are cycles that we know and we can move with them. And when we move against them, it's not safe. Fear comes in. But when we move with the cycles and flow with them, and then create with them, because we bring in our unique experience and capacities in these cycles, we are not just a victim of a process, then beauty comes forth. And the power of these cycles help us to bring forth what comes from our most creative spirit. So it's a time of expectancy. And the words of I need your help now with the song, like something new comes because of, how did you say the words? New life comes from. Yeah. Can you repeat it? I lost it. In the song, yeah. Because of the birth,
because there's Christmas Day.
Man will live forevermore because of.
Yeah. I don't know the song. Yeah. Man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. So because of this birth in each of us, in our collective, we will live forevermore. Because without the spirit of love, there is no life. Because all life is connected through love, through that big matrix of love. So experiencing that birth again and again keeps us conscious and aware and awake after that night. Okay, thank you. Uma.
Thank you, Rude. When I think about those times in my life that I've been in the darkest places, I realize those dark times did not teach me to not trust. The opposite. It's the darkest times that taught me to trust life, to trust light, to trust God, to trust love. How does that happen? When things are the most challenging, how does that uplift us? It doesn't feel like it's happening at the time that it's uplifting. But As we've been talking about the lightness and the darkness in our prep time, what I realized is that the way I would describe the dynamic for myself is I have a very self-active mind, as we all do. When things are going well, I think, I've got it. I've got this under control. You know, I'm doing all the right things. I'm making it happen. I'm making it work. And I trust in myself, which is important. But in the darkness, when things aren't going well, I trust in myself, but not the ego mind, not the attached to my own good ideas mind. I get in touch with the strength that lies deep in my being, that isn't that. That is the God being within. That is the Christ Spirit. That is the truth of who I am. And I think that that happens because the more helpless, hopeless, despairing I feel, because I've tried everything and it just isn't working, and it looks so hopeless, that's when I go deeper. That's when the true surrender happens. The truest, deepest surrender to all that I actually am and the power and glory of that happens in the darkest times. And in watching the light come time after time out of the dark, life has taught me to trust that. Many years ago, I took a scuba diving certification course. And it was an excellent course because they dealt very deliberately with what happens when somebody's afraid and, you know, 60 feet down under the surface of the water. The natural thing when something happens and we're triggered by fear is you go straight to the surface. Well, that's not a good thing when you're a scuba diver. You don't want to shoot to the surface. You get bends and everything else. So the course was designed in a way to trigger a fear response. One of the ways, there's many ways they did that, but one of the ways was the course was held in an indoor swimming pool in a huge sort of gymnasium room that was a couple stories high. And we were practicing buddy breathing, right? Where somebody lost their air and you just stay with your buddy and then you share the regulator and you share the air. I take three breaths or whatever, you take three breaths like that, right? But stay close to your buddy was the teaching. Don't lose your buddy. So in the middle of the buddy exercise, they shut the lights out. I mean pitch black. You could not see your own hand in front of your face. And you're like, where's the buddy? Arms and legs going like this, trying to bump into your buddy. But the idea is that for many people, the reaction is to shoot to the surface, even though you're only in 5 feet of water or whatever. Failure, nope, you're dead now, or you're in the hospital dealing with bends or whatever. But what I noticed is, being in the pitch dark with your air, and hopefully your buddy, sharing your air, there's an opportunity to rest and go into a deep peace of knowing I've got air, I'm okay, I've got my buddy. And then when the lights were out, somebody would come up behind you and pull your mask off. You know? Well, again, more people pop to the surface, little popcorns, you know. But again, okay, I don't have a mask. I'm okay. And to just breathe and continue to sit in the darkness and know that I have everything that I need. that's what I realized is the opportunity in the darkest times. And in some miraculous way, after fighting whatever's happening for some period of time, I have been able to find my way to resting in the deepest, darkest unknown, the greatest despair, and realizing I have everything that I need. Just keep breathing. And the light will come. And it always does. Has anybody ever been in that darkest, darkest place of any type of experience and the light didn't come? It always comes. Of course it always comes. And, you know, there's many definitions probably of faith. But it is that knowing, in my mind, it's that knowing. Of course the light will come. Of course the love is here. Of course I have everything that I ever needed and always will have. Because I live in an abundant universe. I live surrounded by unconditional love and acceptance, no matter what my current experience tells me. And when we come out of those circumstances with that deepest knowing, we bring the light into the world in a way that we didn't have the capacity to bring the light in the world before we were immersed in darkness ourselves. Is that true for you? And so there's the gift of the darkness, and I know that we all know that, but do we understand it? That the gift of the darkness is because it reminds us who we are. And a child of the living God. But I'm thinking in this moment, not a son of God, like S-O-N, but a son of God, like S-U-N. We are the light of divine being. And being a son of God, it's our job to bring the light. But we partly learn how to bring the light, really bring the light, in the midst of darkness. The darkness in the world, the darkness in a friend's life, the darkness in whatever situation we walk into. We learn to be the sun in that situation because we've experienced our own darkness. We've experienced our own ability to transcend darkness, hopelessness, despair, frustration. What I've noticed for myself is when I'm at my wit's end, so to speak, that's a good thing. Because it basically means that I have gone beyond the capacity of my own thinking to even begin to think, I got this. I can figure this out. And being at my wit's end in that way is perfect. Because then, and only then, the true power and glory that is me, as a goddess of love and light that came to earth to bring that, that's when it's available for me to be that and to bring that. I was thinking as Gary was speaking about Christ Mass, I spent years in the Episcopal Church. I wasn't raised in the Episcopal Church. It was a choice for me. And one of the things is that in the Episcopal Church, Mass is a sacrament, and that one of the distinctions, and I think this is also true in the Catholic Church, but versus Protestant, in the Episcopal Church, the body and blood of the bread and the wine are not representing the body and blood of Christ. The bread and the wine are the body and blood of Christ. Why? Because we say so. So the invitation of Mass is to take in the Christ Spirit, to embody the Christ Spirit, to bring it into your body and be the Christ. That's what Jesus was doing at the Last Supper. He was telling the disciples, be the Christ. Embody the Christ. And so we don't have to have a ritual that is taking bread and wine and saying it's the body and blood of Christ. We don't have to have that ritual to take in the Christ Spirit. But it certainly wouldn't hurt, because it brings a consciousness about, oh, I choose to embody the Christ Spirit. I choose to take it into myself and become the Christ. So what is the Christ Spirit that I'm taking in, that I'm choosing to take in? It's the it's the God being, the one source of all being, the creator of all things, visible and invisible. It's the God Spirit on earth in human form Spirit. That's the Christ Spirit, right? Because Christ is God in form on earth. And when I choose to take in the Christ Spirit, I'm saying, this body, this life, this moment, I will be the Christ, which is what? God on earth. I will be an expression of God being on earth. I will be the divine creator of all things visible and invisible on earth. I will be that being. Why? Because I say so. And I only can do that if I can touch that reality and align with that reality, know it, ingest it, embody it. And I know for myself my capacity to do that would not be what it is now had it not been for all of those dark nights of the soul that I had to transcend, that I had to remember who I was in the middle of them. So then I'm thinking, how do we be together in a way that promotes that in each other? How do we be with somebody in their dark night of the soul in a way that reminds them who they are? We can say words about, I know who you are, I know you can do this, and that's encouraging. But there's another whole level that has nothing to do with words. And it reminds me of what happened to me when I came to Sunrise Ranch. I was in a dark night of the soul in raising Eden. I had come to my wit's end, didn't know how to do it anymore. And I ended up beginning a lengthy legal battle with the state of Colorado. She was involved in a child welfare system that, in my opinion, had nothing to do with the welfare of children. And I was fighting that system and fighting the state of Colorado. And I felt very alone. It felt so hopeless. It's like, my only choice as a grandmother who wanted to raise my grandchild who had severe special needs was to figure it out. Just figure out how you can go to work when you can't put her in daycare. Just figure out how you can live a life when you can't sleep at night. Just figure out how you can do it by yourself. Or turn her over to us and we'll pay somebody $52,000 a year to take care of her. But I could get nothing. I could get no resources. So every time I went to court, I found myself feeling alone. And on that side of the table, all the people are stacked up that are against me and against my granddaughter. And on this side of the table, it's me. And in my first year of full self-emergence, within months of my arrival, I learned something. Carol Travis, who was leading FSC at the time, spoke to me about the power of agreement. And she said, Uma, you and I and another person need to come into agreement about this. She called in Soma's ex-wife, Charlene. Charlene and Carol and I came into agreement that when I walked into that courtroom, I was backed up, right? I wasn't alone. So physically, I still walked into every courtroom setting alone. And what I felt when I walked in was a holy host of angels walked in with me. I was surrounded by the light. the sense of being alone was replaced by the sense of being an expression of the all that is, and all that is right and good and true in the world, all that is child welfare and unconditional love for the needs of children and families. And it shifted and we won, but more importantly, it taught me something. I'm never alone. I'm never not loved. I'm never not supported and backed up by God and the universe. And when it feels like I am, it's just because, as Martin and Yoronda taught, it's in process. It's the creative process unfolding, and it hasn't come to fruition yet. That's all. It's the same thing as being in the pool in 6 feet of water in total darkness and knowing I have air, the light will come, I have everything I need, and being able to rest in that. So in whatever way we can be that for each other, bring that for each other through the power of agreement, I'm here with you in this. If each person on planet Earth felt totally and completely loved, what would the Earth look like differently? How would it be different?
That was really profound. You only had a little bit, you said. That was incredibly profound.
Wow. You inspired me, Jane.
I'm serious, Uma. I just feel like I'm not sure there's anything to add.
Jane, you always have something to add.
I can, and I want to stand in the authority of what you just brought. It was a huge blessing to me. Firstly, I want to acknowledge how beautiful your representation of the Holy Communion was. I mean, I received Holy Communion 1,482 times. I used to go every day to Holy Communion. And never did I have the experience of what you represented of. Well, of course, we didn't have wine in the Catholic Church for a long time, but the idea of taking it in and the sacredness that was represented by this, what is said before communion is, this is the body of Christ. I mean, and that's the prayer, and then you say, and yes, amen, so it is. They're not saying this is the symbol of the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. And there's all kinds of churchy bad stories about how people have stolen and misused the hosts and things like that, and what a sin that was and what kind of consequence there was. But the privilege of having the sacredness of sacrament, well, sacrament means sacred, but to have that symbol taken in the way you represented it for me, it's like it's changed my life. I mean that in the most humble way. It's changed the way in which I see the privilege that we have. When someone says, this is what's happening, this is what's sacred, and you get to take part in it and become more. And secondly, your representation of the darkness. I have said many times to many people, many circumstances in my life where I just said, wait 24 hours. You know, whatever it's feeling is tense or dark, wait 24 hours, it'll look different. And then you get in these cycles where it's 4 weeks later, 3 weeks later, just wait another 24 hours. And your representation of the, why is it still like that? This is the way that process is going. And stop judging it as, I didn't wake up this morning feeling totally resolved. You know, what's wrong with me? There is a process of staying radiant and allowing yourself to bring the Christ Spirit so that in the darkness, light is present, even though it's not revealing any form yet. And that is, we are so, I was going to say addicted, but what would be a better word? We are so
accustomed.
No, dependent, or we're so
reliant.
No, it's we are in. We are so enmeshed or embroiled. We live in a world where form is everything. So that's not really about addiction or dependency. It is we find without form we get disoriented. Our orientation is in structure so much of the time that we. What's that?
Preconceived notions.
Well, it's more that no matter what the form is, any form gives us some relief because then we think, at least I don't like this one, but I know what's going on. I know something's going on. There's something happening because I see a form. And we often make up forms or we start putting forms on something so there's some level of comfort in the fact that there is something happening. And as I've spoken about and many of us have, aborting the cycle as it might actually work out because we're trying to find a form, to find some comfort in it. So as this experience of being in the dark, and in case you haven't noticed it, 90% of the time if you're outside, it's never really totally dark. I mean, I walk outside sometimes and you can see everything. I mean, you can't necessarily see it as well as the daytime, but it's almost like, what's the big deal? But there are times when being in the dark is like that too, where you see shapes and you can maneuver, but you don't really have all your faculties or you don't have everything that you need to step into manifestation yet. I know the... you know, we speak about the babe in the womb and what it's like to come out of that warm, wet, safe place into the shock of fresh air and new experiences. In some ways, we do that every night we go to sleep. We wake up into the fresh air of the day. And in the deepest experiences of our darkness is, as you were so profoundly saying, everything is provided even though it's disorienting and uncomfortable. What is present for us is, I am breathing, I am not alone, feeling, we often feel alone, but we know we're really not alone, and just to say that out loud, I am not alone, life, love is with me, I am. My heart is beating. If I think of someone I love, their presence is there. I feel like I'm really just magnifying your words. I am just so profoundly moved by what you said. And I really thank Rude and Gary for opening this space of knowing this is, it's, this is, these are holy days. And not just because it's Christmas time, but because we're making it consciously so. It is good to know that there's an openness in the heart of humanity at this time of year that makes it possible for more light to come into human consciousness. And we can participate in that by paying attention. But the spirit of generosity opens people's hearts. The spirit of beauty opens people's hearts. And when we are centered, even in our own discomfort, bringing our radiance, the world has a greater chance. We have a greater chance to be realigned and restored to balance. There is a balance and a wholesomeness to how life and this planet works. We all know that. And we have the chance to profoundly affect that by the way we are living in these days. And I would like to end this evening by turning off all the lights and chanting. And sing into the darkness the the blessing of possibility, the knowing of we have everything we need, and just enjoy the sound. I'm going to start with, we can stand up, we can make a circle if you'd like, you can stay in your chair. If you'd like to move, you can now. I'm going to start with a tone, and you can stay on that tone as long as you're comfortable, and then play. Play with what you'd like to do. And Jim's going to get the lights. Let's have it all the way off, Jim. If you're moving in the dark, just be careful. We welcome this holy experience of being together on this darkest night. Holy, holy, holy.
Oh.
give thanks for the darkness. We give thanks for our standing in the darkness, full of glory, full of knowing, and full of unknowing. We give thanks for the light. We give thanks for each other. And we praise Thee, God of heaven and earth, the Mother and Father of our lives. Amen. Amen. Amen.